All right. Let me get the book.
ASMR.
No.
I was saying no.
I immediately regretted that joke.
I was saying no.
Whispering.
Hey, everyone. My name is Brendan Patrick. And that's Sophie Green. And you're listening to the Super Lit Podcast. The Super Lit Podcast is a bi-weekly podcast pertaining to books about the LGBTQIA community. Hello, Sophie.
Hi.
What's going on?
Not that.
How are you?
How are ye?
How are ye?
Hello, Des.
I want to know why she says hello, Des.
Because her name is Georges.
Is that it?
I don't know.
That's what, oh, okay. I'm thinking of the like a lotus hello, flower.
Des.
Yeah.
It's
Georges. Gorgeous. Because I can't say Georges.
Welcome to the Gorgeous Podcast.
No.
Yes.
Speaking of Gorgeous.
Yes.
this week we are talking about Emmett, which is by Elsie Rosen. We've read a few of their other books. We've had them on, I think, two or three times for the podcast.
Yeah.
They did Camp, and they also did Jack of Hearts. Did we read it? I feel like there was another book that we read by them. Maybe it was just those two?
No, then we've interviewed them separately as well.
Yes, there we go. Mm-hmm. So we're reading Emmett, which is a retelling of which story?
Emma.
By who?
Jane Austen.
I've never read that.
It's my favorite Jane Austen book.
Is that...
I'm being sarcastic? Not joking. Oh, okay. It's my favorite Jane Austen book.
Wait, why is that your favorite Jane Austen?
I don't know. I just like it the most.
What happens in it?
The same thing happens in this.
Emma's trying to...
Emma is a complete asshole.
Woo!
She is extremely shallow and really only cares about the, like, outward appearance of herself and all of her friends, and that's very important to her. And she learns that that's maybe not important, and I don't know why, but I like the characters a lot. I don't know. The love interest in Emma was always my favorite, Mr. Knightley.
Mr. Knightley? Related to Keira?
I wish.
I think she wishes, too.
Ooh, Keira Knightley reboot.
Ooh. I've never read... And I admittedly, anything by Jane Austen, I know.
That's fine.
I don't know why we weren't required to read any of her work in high school, because that's usually when you read
a lot of people were, authors like that. But I never was.
Oh, okay.
I was just reading them on my own.
Were you in, like, advanced English classes?
Sometimes.
That sounds right for you. I imagine you to be teaching it. Well, yeah. I imagine you to be in those classes. I was told that I should sign up for those classes, and I told my teacher no, because I... liked doing really well in my regular classes. And I feel smart and adult enough to say that.
I love that for you.
Yeah. So what you were saying is that...
No, I was talking about this with some friends the other day, and all of, like, Emma's really terrible attributes, because she truly is, like, not a good person, especially at the very beginning of the book. Like, you start off at zero, pretty sure.
Yeah.
I think... Actually, maybe that's why it's interesting. A lot of Jane Austen's, like, protagonists are... not necessarily good people, but they're, like, very...
They can be fixed.
Morally sound, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But Emma's kind of just a bitch. There's more nuance to that, but...
Yeah.
But I think a lot of her, like, terrible traits are exacerbated by them being projected onto a gay white man.
Let me read the book sleeve so yeah. We can actually talk about this. Emmett Woodhouse is handsome, clever, and rich with very little to vex him. Emmett knows he's blessed, and because of that, he tries to give back by doing charity work, like letting the often irritating Georgia sit at his lunch table. Recently, he's found new philanthropic endeavor, matchmaking. So when his friend with benefits, Harrison, how did you feel about that?
That was like...
I won't say why you have a feeling about it, but...
Mostly it just kept throwing off because the character that he's based off is just named Harriet, and I just had to keep reminding myself that.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Harrison starts saying he wants a boyfriend, something Emmett definitely does not want to be. Emmett decides to try to find Harrison the perfect man at Highbury Academy. Finding a boyfriend for the guy you sleep with might be considered by some to be a bad idea, but Emmett isn't worried. He keeps things clean with no attachments. Besides, he's seen what loss can do, and he's not interested in letting that happen to him again. But even Emmett can't control everything, and as he tries to find Harrison a match, he learns that as gifted as he may be, he has no idea what he's doing when it comes to love. Modern, whip-smart, and very gay, Emmett brings you lush romance, all while exploring the complexity of queer culture, where your lovers and friends are sometimes the same people, but the person you fall in love with might be a total surprise.
It wasn't, because I've read Emma, and I knew how it was going to end.
So, surprisingly for me, it wasn't either, but I also thought that it was going to be Harrison. And I'm not going to say if it was or wasn't, but there were two fighters vying for the trophy, if you will.
Mm, so you never had any stakes in Andre?
No.
Interesting.
Yeah, not even once. But the photographer, I'm shaking my head
no.
How old is the photographer?
I actually don't remember if they aged him. They just kept saying he was older.
It felt like senior in college older.
Yeah, to me. Like definitely mid-20s.
But also, this is where the complexities of gayness come into play here. It's not when I was about to turn 18, I remember having similar interests in men who were lately older than I was. Mm-hmm. And it didn't bother me. But as an adult, I'm like, someone needs to save this child.
Yeah. No, I felt very unbothered by, and I don't want to do age discourse because that's a whole can of worms. But like, it is an interesting perspective. Like once you are the age of like a possible older person who were interested or maybe involved with, and you were like,
exactly,
why were you dating a 17-year-old or an 18-year-old or even a 19-year-old? To be honest, why are you dating anyone under the age of 22?
Yeah,
if you're over 25.
Yeah,
just like that's just like a question I have a lot of times because I'm like, what do you talk about?
Yeah,
how's it? You don't talk.
You're not in the
that's
same.
The answer to that is you don't talk. Yeah. But like, yeah, it's very interesting.
So. I keep remembering that our dear friend that was here today, that she is 4 years younger than me. And I keep forgetting that everyone I met that were her friends, 4 years younger than me. Mm-hmm. And I remember being in college and being like, oh my God, all of your friends are hotties. But now as an adult, I'm like, you were literally like freshmen while I was a senior.
Yeah.
Gross.
That's less bothersome to me. But
yeah.
Also, just don't date teenagers. If you're a teenager, don't date teenagers. Just don't date.
Yeah.
Just don't date anyone.
Yeah. Okay. Well, all right. All right.
If you're looking at teenagers to date, don't date them. Just no one date until you're 25.
Okay.
That's when your brain is.
Okay. Well, no, so good point.
No, Emmett's that was such a weird thing.
That sounds like something a teenager heard out of context, which is correct.
I guess that's true. Actually, yeah. Okay. No, wait. It makes so much more sense.
Yeah. So, like, it's something that was heard out of context to spoil a little bit of the book. Emmett's whole thing is that he can't date anyone because he's not old enough for his brain to be done cooking, as we like to say.
Yeah.
And that was, like, his whole personality for the book is that I can't date you. My brain isn't done cooking.
I mean, a lot of the times when I'm, like, having conflict, or not even, like, direct conflict, but just, like, reading something about, or seeing, like, a tweet that someone said, and then I'm like, what the fuck? And then I, like, look at them, and I'm like, oh, you're 23, your brain's not done cooking yet, that's fine. Yeah. Like, that, I say that shit all the time.
You really, you have a lot. So, I think Elsie clearly was listening to you speak when you have said probably in the past, probably while talking to them, well, your brain's not done cooking.
Your brain's not done cooking until you're 25.
Yeah.
But that also doesn't mean that when you turn 25, you're fully cooked.
No. Let them cook, truly.
No, but I mean, I think that taking that specific thing as, like, a teenager hearing something out of context and then treating it like it's, like,
Bible,
yeah, is very accurate to teen brain, and also that's some fun deflection, I guess.
Yeah, I think it's like also for Emmett, it's a very easy out because You find out at the beginning of the book that his mother passed away a couple years ago, I think, mm-hmm. from, I think it was cervical cancer.
Something like that.
Yeah, because that's what he wants to go to school to be a doctor.
Yeah.
Also, his father is unwell.
Unwell, yes.
It's
a good marker of a Jane Austen novel if the parental figure is not well.
Yeah, it was, it was, like, alarming how unwell this man was. Mm-hmm. Because of his anxiety. Mm-hmm. Which, like, I understand you lost the love of your life. You're going through something and you have not spoken to anyone about it. Mm-hmm. Or if you are, you need to speak to more than one of them about it. Mm-hmm. And I think it's meant to be alarming.
Yeah.
But I just remember reading the book and being like, Is anyone going to save this child?
Is anyone going to help him?
I'm not saying that it was child endangerment levels of things, but it was like you're overstepping. Like, I understand that you're a parent and this is a minor.
Yeah.
But you're being a lot.
You're ruining this child by projecting your own anxiety onto them. Yeah.
Which is making him go, okay, my brain isn't done cooking yet.
Biologically, I'm not ready to mate.
Yeah, because I'm looking at my father and saying that I should not. Because I didn't read at any of Jane Austen's work, but because I didn't read Emma.
Yeah.
Admittedly, I really like Lev's work.
Yeah.
I found Emmett to be...
infuriating?
Yes, in a way, and I'm trying to say this in a way that it's not like, oh my god, I hate, because I didn't. I could see that this kid, he's being what I...
You can dislike a character.
If I was as
and still descriptive, have enjoyed the character.
Yeah, if I was as descriptively hot and rich as this person was, mm-hmm. I too would have been a monster.
Yeah.
Which is the point.
Yeah.
I was having a hard time accepting him, but also I was saying, okay, this is like, I'm... viewing you as like someone who would go to Boys of Summer, mm-hmm. as an adult, like, mm-hmm. you, like, everything about you is your visual appearance. Mm-hmm. Also, like, Emmett's not stupid, mm-hmm. so like, it's not like he's vapid and he's just hot. That's it.
Yeah.
So that's the thing that's like, kind of, was hard for me, because I was like, can't you just be actually nice, not just like nice because you need to be nice.
No, we still learn.
Yeah. That was the part that was hard for me, and I meant to ask you while we were reading which book this was, like, mm-hmm. based on, if you will. Mm-hmm. But I didn't want that to ruin my opinion of the book until I was done.
Good.
Not ruin my opinion, but, like, change it. Mm. So Emma is just... I figured that by the end of the book, Emmett would be a more likable character.
Yeah.
But, like, right near the end, I closed the book for a minute, and I was like, wow! Can't do this right now. let's say a stranger comes out. Mm-hmm. When a stranger comes out and mm-hmm. he's like, let me offer you my services. Mm-hmm. No, baby. Mm-hmm.
I think it is kind of like an interesting thing to present, especially to like younger queer readers, that like it technically does become harder, I think, to distinguish like romantic relationships between friendships when you're queer, because you no longer have the like hard wall of like, well, I'm not attracted to this gender, blah, yeah. blah, blah, so therefore, like, of course they're just my friend.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have that barrier. And then there's also this, like, I don't know, straight people have a hard time being friends with other straight people that are of opposite genders, I guess.
Oh, okay, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't know, whatever. That's not my business. I don't care what straight people do. But I think adding, like, part of their relationship between Emma and Harrison, that they're like sleeping together but act like very like adamantly not romantic, was like kind of interesting. But I also felt like it was sort of like a detriment a lot to the book, because it just made it more complicated in like a way that I felt was like weird. It like made it so like some of the relationships I didn't think it fleshed out as much, and this is extremely coming from a perspective of a person who's like read the source material, so I'm trying really hard to not like do a one-to-one comparison, because like, why would I want to read a book that's just like a reskinning of another book? Yeah. Like, obviously there's like, you have to change things and make it interesting, and like there's elements that are shared,
but, I'm
like,
playing Final Fantasy VII Remake because it's different from the source material, but close enough that I feel like I'm still playing the thing.
So I don't like think it is a bad thing that that relationship was shifted, but I also feel like it made things, like, a little weirder in some parts.
I felt like because I've been in that situation before, sleeping with your friends is very rough. It's hard. Mm-hmm. And I've done that many a time.
Mm-hmm.
And it does make things difficult. And I think I've even said on the podcast, I have a hard time when straight men are nice to me.
Mm-hmm.
Because my brain goes, oh, they think you're cute.
Mm-hmm.
No, someone's just being nice to you.
Yeah, straight man brain.
Yeah.
The cashier's being nice to you. She doesn't want to give you her
the
number.
Barista. It's always a barista. The barista said, thank you. Have a nice day. And I went, oh, no, the barista thinks I'm cute.
If the waitress is being nice to you, she's just trying to get
a tip.
She's
at work.
She's at work. She's trying to get a tip. Because if she's not nice to you, you're going to be either, best case scenario, not leave her a tip.
Yeah.
Worst case scenario, something bad is happening.
So, literally, when men come in to my store and they flirt with my associates, I'm, like, very... Or, like, girls, I've had it happen, too, where I've had to ask my associates, are you okay with what's happening? I can ask them to leave.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're at work, and that's not fair, because you're cornered, and you have to give good customer service.
Mm-hmm.
Part of a requirement of working... Sadly, everyone listening to this, part of working in retail is that you have to give good customer service.
Mm-hmm.
And I have retail brain, where it's like, let's see how much we can throw up Brendan until he goes, you know what? Which is apparently a very high amount when I'm at work.
Mm-hmm.
I can easily distinguish at work. I don't know why when it happens to me, I'm like, what? But I'm also very oblivious to people flirting with me.
Yeah, no, I don't. As far as I'm concerned, no one's ever flirted with me.
I flirt with you all the time.
As far as I'm concerned.
Okay, well, all right.
I'm just saying, I need someone, you need to hold a light up sign up in front of my face and then also like snap a few times and make sure I'm paying attention to the light up sign that's in front of me.
Yeah, because you could be zoning out. That's
I'm
true.
Not, yeah. I'm not attached to my body.
You're usually not paying attention when I'm flirting with you. You're usually like watching baseball. So the relationship with Harrison and Emmett made sense to me.
Yeah.
And like, I've...
No, that
made friends
made
that I've
sense.
Slept with first and then became friends with them afterwards.
Yeah.
And sometimes that's, I think, the worst.
Yeah.
I think starting as a friend and then, like, maybe doing a little bit of a tango, if you will, that also makes sense to me. That seems like a normal cadence of things, but, like, I think that's also very, like, not Grindr culture, but, like, Grindr has kind of changed the way that, like, I think a lot of people in specifically the gay male community interact. Mm-hmm. Because, like, I've made, famously, one of the Matts that I dated came from, I slept with him on Grindr, and then we started dating.
Yeah.
It was...
I don't think, you can correct me.
Yeah.
I don't think that's necessarily changed it. I think it's made it more accessible.
I think maybe it's made it more accessible.
Right.
Because I didn't really have, for me, I didn't really have that experience until I was in college.
Right. But it was very...
Before, it was very cruisy.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I think Grindr is just, like, a natural progression of technology taking advantage of, like, cruising culture.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't think... Actually, okay, hold on. Mm-hmm. Different thought coming in right now, hot off the presses.
Oh, okay.
Grindr developed cruising culture into something that could develop into relationships. Because I have no backing for this, I'm just having thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
If you're cruising in a park, you meet up with a person and you have an experience and then you leave, you maybe will see them again. Maybe you exchange phone numbers. Probably not.
Yeah.
Probably not. So, like, happenstance, you might end up kind of, if you stay in the same area, you know, see what I'm saying? Like, but I think Grindr has kind of made things more accessible, so then you have the ability to then have repeated, like,
interactions
with the same person and then possibly develop a further relationship.
I never gave my phone number to people that I had those interactions with before Grindr.
I don't think you would be expected to either.
Yeah. I've also not been in that part of the gay realm for a while at this point.
Same.
You don't go down to the graffiti pier and get on Sniffies?
No, I go to the Macy's bathroom.
Yeah,
the second floor.
Yeah. That is a hot spot.
I have inside
knowledge. Yeah,
that I've
because you were inside the bathroom.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. It's always a Macy's bathroom.
It's always a Macy's bathroom.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Not a Nordstrom? The Nordstrom rack, get it?
Oh.
boobs. Yeah, I so again, I think that relationship kind of made sense to me. But I also was able to not attach this media to another media because I didn't know which one to.
Yeah, I think that, I think not the relationship itself.
I thought it was Emily Dickens.
Oh, yeah. That would be so much sadder.
Yeah, that's...
I don't think their relationship itself was bothersome, but it added, like, this weird element of, like, you weren't sure if Emmett was, like, purposely kind of sabotaging Harrison, and, like, because there's very early on, like, a clear tertiary character who's very interested in him and they're interested in each other, but he's, like, simply not good enough.
Yeah.
Which is why Emmett does not want him to date. But that, so I think having that element of the relationship shift, it made it feel like more so that he was doing that because he was jealous and he wanted a relationship with Harrison.
Yeah.
When, again, I love a digression from the original text, but like the original, it's just full, absolute, just like shallowness and like pride and like pride and prejudice. Just like, he's like, she's not good enough for you, you can't date him, and that's... it's just because of that.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with my emotional, personal stakes in this relationship.
Mm.
So that feels like a lot more, I think, like, I don't know, it just made it, if it shifted something in a, like, kind of a funny way, but...
Uh-huh. Would you trust someone that you were sleeping with to set you up with someone?
No.
Yeah.
First of all, I'd be like, why am I sleeping with you if we're not dating?
Well...
How did you get in my bed?
That is a reality for you. That wasn't for me in the past.
Yeah, no, exactly. Yeah, I just, like, don't have the right perspective on that because my brain, like, can't compute even doing that.
Would you trust one of your friends to set you up with someone?
Probably.
Probably. Would you set up one of your friends with someone else?
Yes, but only in the circumstance where, like, possibly out of circumstance, or just, like, maybe I was seeking someone, but, like, found someone who I actually genuinely thinks would connect with a friend.
Yeah.
Not just, like, you need a boyfriend, girlfriend, you need a partner, so I'm just gonna find someone I think is really cool, separate from you.
Yeah.
Which I think is, like, a huge problem Emmett has, is, like, individual people that he's, like, they'd be compatible in my brain, because they look good together.
Yeah.
And they have... like, statuses that will match, or, like, one of them will elevate the other one, like, very that, not, like, I think you guys would benefit emotionally and, like, personally from having a relationship together, and it would be a nice thing for you.
I would always get aggravated, like, in college when I was, like, very adamantly trying to find a boyfriend, and I would, like, make it clear to, like, my friends that, like, I would accept help.
Yeah.
If you will.
Yeah.
And
I will.
Yeah, you would help set me up.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think some of my other friends would.
Yeah.
And I love them very dearly, but it was just always so funny that, like, in my group of friends, I have girlies that have, you know, an army of gay men friends. Mm-hmm. And not a once you wanted to set me up. I am a catch. I'm pretty.
I'm smart.
I'm a catch.
You know what? I think that...
To quote Charlotte York.
There's probably, unfortunately, a lot of people who are friends with people who are like, you're my friend and I love you, but you should not, I do not want to see you dating people I care about.
Well,
like,
yeah, because that's messy.
Yeah. Well, no, not even just that, but like,
yeah.
You can love someone and be their friend and support them and also know that they are like possibly not the best person to set up in a relationship.
Yeah.
That kind of vibe. I'm not saying that's always the truth, but like, I think that's a contributing factor also.
Yeah. Also, like, some of my friends' friends, I'm like, you're an absolute trash monster. Non-complimentary. Yeah. You are awful.
Who's your favorite character? And why was it the whale plushie that Harrison wins at the carnival? Who's your favorite character?
Okay, if I can go through the list here. Georgia gave Cookie Monster pajama energy, but was also queer. So I think that also falls into that category of, like... The Cookie Monster pajama girl turns out to be gay.
She's calling you a slur, and she is homophobic, but she also is dating, like, someone who works at the bar down the street.
Yeah.
Who's also a woman.
Yeah.
And they, like, get you in for free.
Yeah.
While calling you a slur. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
If you're straight and trying to understand what we're saying, I'm so sorry, honey.
Yeah, don't. I'm so sorry. Mom, I'm sorry. So Georgia gave me that. I think Harrison gave me Anne Hathaway before they gave her a blowout and took her glasses off.
Yeah.
Because Anne Hathaway, even with that, she was, she's still attractive. She just needed a conditioner.
Yeah.
Knight, the photographer.
Yeah.
Are they named after Nick Knight, the photographer?
I'm assuming they were named after the, like, original romantic lead, but they were not in the same role as that character, so...
Oh, is that the name of the... Oh, Mr. Knight.
Mr. Knightley is the original romantic lead, but interesting. In Emmett, we have different characters. I can't say spoilers. Yeah.
So, the romantic interest... So, let's just name all of the guys, if you will. So, we have Harrison, and then we have... It's funny that this character is not named on the sleeve at all. We have the neighbor, who is Miles. It's funny that he's like, pretty important to Emmett, and he's not at all mentioned on the book sleeve.
Yeah.
And then there's also Andre, there's Knight, and, Swim Fan?
Yeah. Swim Fan?
Yeah, Swim Fan. Who is, I think, the worst character, period, point blank.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's meant to be.
No, correct.
I think I liked Harrison.
He's cute.
He seems sweet.
Clark.
Who's Clark?
Clark is the douchebag.
Oh, yes. Swim Fan. I decided to just call him Swim Fan after that. Mm-hmm. I feel like I liked Harrison the most.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think he was the most innocent out of all of them. And the least... Oh, and then there's also his best friend. She is a jewelry designer.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like there were a lot of seats at the table that were filled. Mm-hmm. If you will.
Taylor.
Yes. I like Taylor a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I hated that she was always making out with her boyfriend. But also, that's teenagers.
Yeah.
You.
I think...
As a person who was a third wheel for a very good portion of his life.
Yeah.
That has been my experience with almost every one of my friends that is in a relationship. Yeah. Who's your favorite character? Don't say the whale plushie.
I really liked Miles, and mm-hmm. I really liked Miles' parents, his mom's.
Yes. Love his mom's.
They were very cute. I also really liked that there's, like, a subplot of them making a cookbook together.
Yeah.
That was very fun.
Yeah. I like the Miles household.
Yeah, they were very good.
I think collectively they're nice.
Yeah, I think an important thing about understanding Emma, and then I'm projecting onto Emmett, is that, like, generally, like, baseline, a lot of the, like, adult relationships that he sees reflected in his life are, like, extremely positive,
mm-hmm.
very loving, very caring, even, like, his father, who, unfortunately, like, his mom has passed, but, like, their relationship was very, like, loving and, like, very supportive, so I think...
He still speaks about her in the present tense to his father.
So it's just very, like, I think it makes his behavior maybe more, a little bit more understandable just because of, like, the amount of, like, pressure
mm-hmm.
he puts on himself in his relationships as he's aspiring for basically what he is seeing from an outside standpoint as, like, a perfect relationship that does not have flaws. Obviously, that is untrue because it doesn't exist, but that, I think, is, like, a huge motivator specifically for him. So I think it was, like, really good that you have a kind of this, like, really nice family unit that is, like, supportive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I told my dad once that the way that he has always treated my mom set, like, an example for me on, like, what I should expect in a partner.
Mm-hmm.
Because even with my dad's work, he still found time to keep in contact, even at work with his wife. Mm-hmm. And also, like, came home... traveled very long for any of his jobs.
Mm-hmm.
It was just there were certain expectations that I realized as an adult when I was like, wait a minute, the things that I'm allowing in a partner is like not healthy.
Mm-hmm.
I deserve someone that actually wants to pay attention to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I told him, it was like, when I started to think about like you and the standard that you set, like if someone wants something, they will pay attention to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, it makes it very difficult when a lot of people just like don't care
mm-hmm.
to find a good partner. He was like, oh, I didn't know. I was like, I'm not saying it was a bad thing, like, at all. It's, I'm saying, like, thank you for showing me that I deserve respect.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can imagine that. I didn't even think of that. Emmett having, like, all of the relationships around him are very positive. Mm-hmm. I didn't think of that.
New thoughts. Hot off the presses.
Wow. Load them directly into my brain.
Please.
Yeah. I didn't see the ending love interest. I didn't see that coming, but I also did at the same time. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, I have to be wrong. Like, yeah. It can't be that.
Yeah.
And I wasn't wrong. I, for some reason, thought Taylor and Taylor's boyfriend, I thought they were going to break up. Wes, there we go. I, for some reason, thought they were going to break up. I don't know why.
Yeah.
Glad they didn't.
No.
Yeah, I'm not sure why. I would love to see, like, an illustration of what Taylor's jewelry looks like.
Oh, that's very true.
Because I feel like the description of it, my brain is thinking, like, a few different things. Mm-hmm. I would actually... Hey, Lev...
Can you get in contact with Troll Beads?
Yeah, not this!
And see if they can do custom jewelry for the book.
It's been so long since we talked about Troll Beads.
I know, really. Throwback to
Ryan LaSalle.
If you know, you know.
Yeah.
Orange drink.
He should
I have like a really do hard an illustration. Time generally with reading descriptors of jewelry and costuming if it's like really extravagant. Or even just like people who are like heavily described clothes because I think... I visualize stuff really literally when I'm given, like, a description. Like, it's really... If you're giving me, like... And I understand... Like, I think... So, like, a lot of Taylor's jewelry is, like, trans-themed and inspired. She's a trans woman. Mm-hmm. That's very important. So, I think that a lot of her descriptions of her jewelry make sense. Like, I think it would be really beautiful. But because it's, like, described in a way that's, like... importantly focusing on
like details.
How she highlights the trans flag in her work and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I like just visualize stuff really literally and it sometimes it's really hard for me to like
does it make your brain go that is a trans lapel pin.
Well I just
trans
like,
flag lapel pin.
It like translates to like the most basic simplest form of what I'm being described so like
it's not giving you enough nuance.
It gives me, like, it makes me visualize, like, costume jewelry more so. Like, very broad strokes jewelry.
Yeah.
So, in my head, I'm like, I know that's not what it would be, but I also, like, I'm visualizing, like, a really cheesy, gaudy necklace. Like Flavor Flav size. Like,
oh,
like,
yeah,
not,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
A tiny, like, a pendant.
And I was imagining a lot of, delicate, intricate pieces.
Yeah, I, like, can't visualize stuff like that.
Your gold chain bolo tie.
Yeah.
Like, that's actually, like, kind of what I was imagining.
Okay, that's cute. Yeah. But, like, again, to me, it, like, I, when I, it's just, yeah.
Yeah.
It's me. I'm the problem. I think it would be really cool if there was some kind of...
Illustration
of the jewelry and stuff that's described in here, because it really does sound really beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would be interested to see that. I think the only other book that we've read that has, like, an illustration of the jewelry was, I think, Reverie. And I think it's because I got, like, a collector's edition or something.
Yeah.
And I think Ryan drew those. Yeah, I really liked Taylor and her journey. I think the only character that I didn't like was Georgia in terms of, like, because Emmett had so much, like, I don't know, like, negative energy toward this person.
Yeah.
Because we're basically being told that the person who is narrating the story finds this person to be annoying. I feel like I was, like, this poor girl was set up.
Yeah.
And the way that Emmett treats Georgia is very rough, I think. When Georgia is just, like, just being nice. Like, Georgia's being actually nice, and Emmett is being fake nice. I think that's the thing that was difficult for me, is that Emmett is fake nice, and everyone around them is like, oh, yeah, you would never do that because you're nice. And it's, like, sarcasm. So a lot of his friends say... basically to his face, like, oh, you're just being nice, right? And it's like, oh, you're being a dick. That's, like, really what they're saying to him. But again, I think that this is, like, a very good encapsulation of what I imagine, like, a very affluent, like, quote-unquote handsome, rich, smart gay man to be.
So, I think very... The like, Cookie Monster Pajama Pants attribution to Georgia, I feel like, is really accurate.
Yes.
Because, I'm sorry, I'm going to do this again, but, like, the character she's based off of, Mrs. Bates is basically like a very poor woman who is unmarried and lives in town, and mm-hmm. Emma takes pity on her and does charity work for her and like invites her to like things like the events that they have at the house, and like in a extremely aren't I a good person because I'm treating this person who is so below me well, but she's like a genuinely kind person who just like thinks that she's being invited to these things and Emma's spending time with her because
she wants to spend time with her.
Wants to spend time with her, and she thinks they have a genuine friendship. And there's like a crux in the book where she like basically loses, like she hits like the point of frustration where she was like, I can't still be nice to you because you're so below me. It's yeah. like actually infuriating to me that I need to treat you with respect. And that's like a really, and it happens in front of a large group and it has a lot of repercussions, but like I think that kind of thing is emulated pretty well with Emmett as well.
Oh, absolutely.
It's like I am, but like mm-hmm.
You're mad at someone else because of your own thoughts.
Yeah, but just like it's like you hit a point where you're like frustrated
mm-hmm.
because you are trying like very hard to be a good person and be like morally better, and also just like physically and like outwardly better is like very important. So like yeah. having someone who is like worse off, not in a good situation, and also not aspiring in quotes to be a better person in yeah. your eyes, then you just like start to like, it festers, you dislike them because they're like, why are you happy? You're in such a shitty situation.
Yeah,
you shouldn't be happy. Like, why are you finding happiness?
How are you finding happiness when I'm not?
Other things, exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I like that.
It's represented in this book.
That translation in the book. Yeah. I think it worked really well because, like, that character, like, a main staple of her character, she just talks constantly. Like, she never stops talking. She never stops talking about
John.
John, who, is, again, another, interpolated character. Because she's, like, so excited for her friend who's, like, doing all this stuff. And it's really just, like, genuinely excited to share with people and, like, Emmett is just processing it as, like, stop bragging about your friends. Stop talking about people who are better than you. Like, it doesn't make you cool by association by talking about how cool your friend is. And it's, like, the translation of, like, how those two characters, like, kind of interpret that interaction, I think is really interesting.
Yeah.
And I think it's done very well.
Well, no, I think it does because, again, Emmett thinks that no one can clock that he's being a dick.
Yeah.
But everyone around him can.
Yeah.
And it's like some of the interactions that he has with his friends, they'll say like, oh, you're being nice right now, aren't you?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I think he says something that is meant to be actually like complimentary.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, oh, you're just being nice.
Yeah.
Because it's like, I can't trust the thing that you just said is actually how you feel.
Mm-hmm.
You're saying it through a mask.
Right.
I think I do trust the teenagers in this book to be like, oh yeah, you're being a dick right now.
No, I think like a lot of them are like, what the fuck, dude? They like keep each other in check pretty severely, which I think is cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Love that for them.
Mm-hmm.
And Emmett is kind of the like Regina George, if you will, of the group, mm-hmm. like the head honcho.
Mm-hmm.
The head honcho, mm-hmm. to quote Kim Petras. But no, like this book to me feels, because I like Lev's writing, it feels like camp. It feels like Jack of Hearts in the way that I can tell that Lev wrote this in a way that is complimentary.
Yeah, no, I think they do a really good job of creating teenage characters that are grounded, feel realistic, feel like what teenagers actually are, but they're elevated enough where it's like an interesting story to tell, and mm-hmm. It's, like, not full suspension of disbelief, but just, like, a little suspension to be, like, I'm not, like, cranking these people up to, like, full Riverdale levels.
Yeah.
We're not dealing with, like, Pretty Little Liars, but they're, like, turned up enough that they're, like, interesting, compelling characters that have, like, loud and somewhat, like, ostentatious personalities, but they're still, like, very grounded, and, like, I believe that this is what a teenager would do. Also,
I can believe that the kids that go to the Hunt School behave like this.
Yeah, I think that generally just kids right now are just a lot more like this than they were when we were kids.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, that's also, like, another layer that I kind of have to remind myself of a lot of times when we read about younger characters. Like, I think, like, in the first couple of pages or, like, the first chapter, Emmett is like, okay, I'm gonna find a boyfriend for Harrison.
Yeah.
There's so many openly gay men at my school, so I have a few to choose from. And yeah. that sentence was, like, insane to me. I was like, you don't have just, like, two that fight because they hate each other.
Yeah, my school.
Yeah, my school.
Yeah. I went to your school and did that at your school.
Then we had three that day.
Yeah.
No, that I think that's like interesting too. So yeah.
I was talking to Jordan about this at lunch today, that like the idea that even straight kids can go to school with their nails painted, like straight guys can go to the school with their nails painted and wearing pearls.
Yeah.
And not be,
because we've
thrown into a locker and to live in there. Like that is, that is nice. I'm happy that people can express their gender a little bit more.
Yeah.
Than I was able to.
I think a lot of that also just is not even related to gender expression, but just like the queer influence on pop culture
and
like trends have like seeped into straight spaces.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I understand what you mean.
Yeah. Jordan was like, oh yeah, they're cosplaying as queer people. I was like, yes.
Very that.
I like that in this universe of Yule, even with Jack of Hearts, like they're this like openly queer kid was writing like a, I think specifically it was like a sex column, but it was like a relationship advice column.
I think it was a relationship advice column that skewed towards sex more.
So I liked that in that universe, like, that was a thing, and he, like, wasn't bullied about it.
Yeah, that was never...
The one person that was doing it, who was stalking them.
Right, but, like, the concept of that was not the conflict.
No.
The existence of it wasn't the conflict. No. Yeah.
And then in camp, it was like, everyone here is queer. Like, it just... I love reading...
And the existence of them was the conflict.
Yeah, exactly. The existence of that camp, yeah. But I like that in Lev's work, I feel like even at the end of the day with the kids fighting or doing... At the end of the day, it's night.
It's night.
I think even the idea of, like, there being a lunch table full of different kinds of queer people, and it's, like, more than two kids.
Yeah, it's who are sitting group. Near
each other for safety.
And they aren't, like, the queer table.
Yeah.
They just happen to be one of the tables of queer kids who are at this school.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or some of the queer kids sitting together at school, but there are other ones sitting in all
that
other,
aren't cool that enough are, to sit.
Sitting in other spaces.
Yeah, that aren't cool enough to sit with them.
Well, yeah, because they still have a hierarchy.
Yeah, absolutely. Duh. Regina George, like I said.
Cher Horowitz.
Yeah, exactly. That's the thing. When I read, specifically, I haven't read any of Lev's work that is, like, more adult, if you will. I have a feeling that maybe that is how it might work, but maybe it'll be different. I would like to read Lavender House, because for an older audience, this is very much like a YA book.
Mm-hmm. At the end of the day.
Yeah.
It's a not. YA book.
At the end of the day.
It's very short, I think it's...
I thought it was over 300 pages. It is not.
No, it's much shorter.
I know that because of the way the book ended, I'm happy with the character.
Yeah.
I think because, like, I know gay men like this that I think are insufferable.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, you're like this person, and this person that I, anytime I would go out in the gay neighborhood, I'm like, oh, here comes that queen.
Mm-hmm. Plain Jane.
Not even that. Like, that's just like, you're a bitch, period, point blank.
You're not funny, you're just mean.
Yeah. I respect that more than.
Really?
Yes. You want to know why? I think that I tried to be a genuinely nice person. I also express my distaste in things.
Yeah.
Because I'm more of an open book, if you will. I think if you're forcing yourself to be nice, it's insufferable.
No, exactly. If you, I mean, it's like the Ellen DeGeneres effect. If you make the cornerstone of your entire personality and the trademark of like your entire brand that you are kind.
Yeah.
The second you are unkind... And even more so when you're, like...
A monster.
Fully abusive. It is so... Like, there... To encapsulate your entire personality into a brand of kindness and not have, like, a public outlet for even just, like, slight distaste. Not even, like, conflict or fighting, but just, like, a broader opinion that, like, sometimes it's okay that you not like things. Like,
yeah.
You're going to just fester from the inside, and you're going to be a terrible person, and it's going to manifest in bad ways in other spaces.
I'm glad that there were people to check Emmett, because I think that unchecked, he would become a monster.
For sure. Yeah.
But also, like, I can imagine having a friend like Emmett.
Yeah.
I don't want to say that he's, like, an unbearable character, because he was the main character of a book, and I can't imagine that Lev would put out a book in which the book ends and the character is just the worst thing you've ever read.
I mean, if you want to do that, I encourage it, because I love a protagonist that's actually not a good person, but that is not the story that's being told. Yeah, there is progress. There is a character arc, and there's growth.
Yeah, I liked that. I love Lev's writing, just in general.
Yeah.
That's why I so eagerly picked this book up.
Yeah. And then I went, Emma...
Yeah.
I'm in.
You said that, favorite. And I went, huh?
Yeah.
Huh?
Huh?
Yeah. You said it, and I went, it didn't even enter my ear. It just bounced, it ricocheted clean off. Does it say it on the book, and I didn't realize?
No, I think I just saw, oh, well, also, Woodhouse is the same surname, so.
Oh, jeez.
I was like, oh, Emmett Woodhouse? Okay, I know what this is about. And then matchmaking? I know what this is about, yeah.
I love making...
I also, like, kind of love the idea of, like, someone reading this and then reading Jane Austen's afterwards, because I feel like that's a fun journey to go on.
Yeah.
And then you watch Clueless, and it's a full trifecta.
Is Clueless?
Clueless is based off of Emma as well.
Oh. Cher was likable.
Not in the beginning.
I haven't watched Clueless in a while.
We're going to watch Clueless now.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the same thing. She's very concerned about her own well-being.
Yeah.
I mean...
I think because I like Alicia Silverstone.
Alicia Silverstone is so charismatic that it is hard to dislike her when she's being an asshole.
Paul Rudd.
Paul Rudd, I mean, he's...
Yeah. Paul Rudd, even in a character that is unlikable, I'm like, you're Paul Rudd.
Yeah.
I love you.
Yeah. I think also the book being possibly a little bit shorter, we lose a little bit of time with... like, some of the relationships that I think help kind of, like, make you understand things more and then, like, develop further.
Yeah.
I think just generally, like, the timeline is a little shorter in this, but it's still successful.
Because I think it's from, like, maybe a couple weeks into the semester up until maybe a winter break.
Yeah.
So it's like,
less than a year.
It's less than a semester of school.
That's so short. Yeah.
Yeah. I was happy with how... short it was, and just in terms of I finished it, and I was like,
I love a little bite-sized book. It's great. Again, I'm coming from extremely coming from a perspective of a person who loves the original text, so it's really hard for me to not one-to-one compare. That's the only thing I mean by this is a shorter book comparatively. There's beats in this that do not didn't happen that are in the original, but I only am aware of them because I know about them. Does that make sense? Like, it doesn't feel
because
like
because I was... didn't know. I didn't feel
yeah, like, and
I
it didn't doesn't know feel like there's things. Like an absence in the book. Like you still felt like there was a full story and it was well rounded and everything. Yeah. So it's not. I'm just skewing my perspective by unfortunately being really familiar with the source material. But no, but I like that it's like a shorter kind of like sweet little.
Yeah. Thankfully, novel. I had no idea what the source material was.
Yeah, so...
So I was able to... I went into this blind.
This is... Honestly, like, this kind of stuff also is, like, why I sort of stop reading books before I go see movies sometimes. Yeah. Because I get too caught up in what I'm not seeing. And then I don't, get to really experience... It's fun to be like, oh, this scene I'm really excited for is going to happen. Or like, oh, I can't wait to see how this character is interpreted. Because that is fun. But a lot of times it's like, they didn't do the thing I wanted them to do.
Like when they leave out a sibling in a show that is supposed to be there.
Name a TV show that's based on a book. Name a movie that's based on a book. And I'll show you the sibling that got removed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Literally, I remember watching Love, Simon after voraciously reading that book and being like, oh my God. And then watching that, and I was like, where the fuck is his sister? Who's supposed to be in a band with Leah.
See, even just you mentioning that, I forgot that he is a sister.
Exactly.
I didn't remember that.
Yeah, she's part of Leah on the offbeat. She's like a main part of that.
Damn.
Yeah.
Not in my brain at all.
Nope.
Fully lost.
I'm not going to mention Heartstopper because that'll get you on a tangent.
Well, I mean, Ollie is very important. I think it's really sad, actually, that he's not in the show. But yeah. I understand why they didn't want, like, an 8-year-old running around.
Yeah. It just wouldn't work. They have a sister that has a bedroom cup.
Extremely important. So
yeah, a bedroom beverage.
I cannot remove her, but...
She appears out of nowhere.
I'm trying to think of other things, but... I think just generally, I don't know why that's like a thing that happens, but it's a thing that happens. I think just like, yeah. Actually, you know what? I think
red, white, and royal blue.
Right. I think a lot of
those
it
relationships were changed.
Is like those sibling relationships are seen as like B or C plots.
Yeah.
So they're removed just to cut time for editing.
Yeah.
Specifically talking about like adaptations that go into TV or movies.
Yeah.
I think it really is just that. Like when you're processing something into a script, you have to be like, what are the main plot points, what can I remove to just make sure that we don't like get lost in the sauce, I guess.
Absolutely. I would tell people to read this book.
I would tell people to read this book. I've told people to read this book. I've been telling people to read this book like since we started it.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I mean, just our friends.
Yeah.
I liked it. It was fun. It was cute.
I love a little romantic romp.
It was a little romance.
Yeah.
I think it was pretty heartwarming.
Yeah. I, too, want to be kissed in the snow.
Wait, okay, let's talk about that. That was fun.
Yeah.
There's, like, this weird thing that is never explained, but I kind of don't care, where, like, every time characters that are, like, universally drawn to each other, shall I say, like, it starts off subtly, which is, like, flower petals, like, things that are, like, oh, that's, like, kind of strange, but not unexpected, just, like, a wind kicking up. To the point where, like, people are, like, just objects that are in the room are, like, falling when, like, characters interact. And it's kind of this, like, weird...
It's setting Emmett off in a way that he's like, what he's the like, fuck, why
is,
everyone?
Why is there just, like, all... Why is there romance happening around me? Yeah. That was very fun. I liked that a lot.
I feel cute. Like that would be... If this was a movie, that would be, like, a funny gag. It'd be like, oh, my God, again?
Yeah, no. Yeah. It'd be, like, a background shot that you, like, don't really pay attention to. And then, like, the main character's like, what the fuck is going on? Yeah.
I will say in the thank yous, Lev wrote it in the style of, I guess, a Downton Abbey or like a Bridgerton
vintage speak.
Letter. Yeah, vintage speak, as I like to say. There's a part where he's thanking people, and it's like the mistress, Megan, and then like T. So yeah, oh yeah, Miss Megan T, Duchess Dahlia, and this is Adler.
Mm-hmm.
So like I was able to figure out who these were.
This is just like when we were reading Camp, and you're like, so the initials in the cave, those were other authors,
no, not
right?
Camp, Surrender Your Sons.
Oh, that's Surrender Your Sons. I'm yeah, so this one. But your same brain working.
Yeah, so Adam Sass is in here, Adib Karam, Julian Winters, Viscount Caleb Rohrig. It's just like very funny that I was able to do this.
I love that. I love that you have this power.
And, like, some of the people, like, I don't know all of them, but I recognized, when it got to Dahlia A, I was like, oh, that's, I think that Dahlia is an editor and also an author, and they've done, like, a book compilations, if you will. So, what are those called? But, yeah, it was just, like, very funny that I was going through this, and I was like, wait, I recognize that name. I was like, oh, that's Dahlia Adler. And I was like, wait, I know other names here. Wait a minute.
Wait. Rachel.
Sarah.
Rachel, show it to me. Rachel, send it to me. Rachel.
Oh my God, Jesus was seen.
Where? Rachel. Rachel, send it to me.
Oh my God, okay, Emmett was seen.
Emmett was seen. Where? At the Winter Festival.
Yeah, I think if you're looking for, like, a fun romp that, like, is romantic, also the way, if you're looking for another Elsie Rosen book, like, please, by all means, pick this up. I got this at Barnes & Noble. You were able to download it from a bookstore.
I got her from the Kobo store.
Yeah, the Kobo store.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you can get this.
There's an audiobook.
I was just about to say, I wonder if there's an audiobook.
There is an audiobook, so you can listen to it as well.
Ugh. Amazing. Yeah, if you're looking for a book to read, like, get into this. I had a fun time reading it.
I think this is a fun jumping off for summer reading.
Yes.
Because it's cute and fun and short. It's a perfect little beach book.
Mm-hmm.
And it, I had like, a great time.
I almost read this entirely on the train back from Rhode Island, and I stopped myself.
Yeah.
This week, we were talking about Emmett by Elsie Rosen, And my name is Brandon Patrick. That's Sophie Green. And you've been listening to the Stuberlit podcast.
Okay, so back to Heartstopper.
Yeah, uh-huh. Okay.
Outro music. Oh. It won't stop. It's not stop. We can't stop.